blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, folks, this is not Abraham Hamilton III, but this is E.W. Jackson, and I'm glad to be with you. It is an honor to be on substituting for this great man of God. I'll tell you what, I often listen to the various hosts on AFR, and I have to say, Abraham Hamilton III, I find, is just a tremendously brilliant guy, and it is even a little bit intimidating to sit in the same chair that he sits in. And I've often thought to myself, too, that, you know, not just being heard on AFR, he ought to be heard everywhere because of the incisive analysis that he brings to the table. And frankly, if he weren't coming from a biblical worldview, he would be heard everywhere. But needless to say, that's not exactly the perspective that is called for, sadly, not even in some so-called conservative circles. So God bless him. It's an honor to sit in the same chair. And it is a great honor to be here on AFR, substituting for him and to be with you. We're looking forward to a very, very important discussion today, because it's interesting that somehow, by providence, I am doing the program today with these riots having broken out in L.A. But just before I get to that, first let me thank all of you, the audience, and thank the team at AFR, the Wildman family. I want to honor Brother Don and all who have made it possible for us to be here broadcasting and ministering to all of you. It really is a pleasure and an honor. I'm going to be taking calls a little bit later, but we've got a lot to discuss, and the time is going to go by very, very quickly. So let's get right to it. Let's start out with what's going on in L.A. right now. And of course, you all know that on Friday night, these riots broke out, and apparently they are precipitated, according to the malefactors, the criminals who are taking to the streets of L.A., precipitated by the ICE raids. Now, these ICE agents are doing their lawful duty. Their lawful duty. They're not doing anything wrong. They're trying to locate and to arrest and ultimately put in the process for deportation people who already have deportation orders for the most part. I mean, keep that in mind, folks. That's often forgotten. They're not out simply raiding any place they come across, like they're flipping a coin. They're looking for people and the places that those people are likely to congregate or to reside who already have a deportation order on their heads. They're supposed to be out of the country. They, by the way, also people who have criminal records, they're supposed to be out of the country, and they're going to get them and effect that deportation. But according to the governments of California, at least the state and the local, somehow these ICE agents are doing something wrong. They're doing something terrible. They're doing something bad. They're doing something that must be stopped. The first thing that we need to say about this is Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe to those who put evil for good and good for evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. What we have here, folks, and you all have heard me say this many times, and you know, I hope that you have a chance to listen to my podcast on American Family Radio, AFR.net, which posts every Wednesday morning. But I've been talking about the fact that, in my view, the Democrat Party has become a demonic cult. And I don't say that as a matter of hyperbole. I don't say that because I'm trying to be mean or to do name calling. I say that as a matter of spiritual reality, that's what the party has become. And all of their allies are operating in that mode. They are against everything God is for and for everything God is against. And so for them, it is not the lawless, the illegal alien invaders. It is not the criminals. It is not the vandals. It is not those who destroy property, threaten law enforcement officers, try to obstruct law enforcement in carrying out their duties. No. They're not bad. They're good. It is the law enforcement officers who have sworn an oath to the Constitution of the United States who are following the orders of their commander-in-chief or in this case, whoever happens to be in charge of that particular project that they're running. They are following orders. They're trying to do this with the minimal loss of life or harm to any human beings. They say this all the time. When local authorities don't cooperate with them, it endangers not only them, but it also endangers the people they're trying to apprehend. They make it that much more difficult and that much more likely that violence will ensue. So these ICE agents are trying to do their job in a way that minimizes physical harm to anyone. Of course, we know the people that that they are arresting don't want to be deported, but that's too bad because they don't belong here. They're not here legally, and they have to be deported. But they're not trying to harm them. They're not trying to kill them. They're not trying to hurt them in any way physically. But you would, if you listen to Mayor Karen Bass, or if you listen to Governor Gavin Newsom, you would think that the ICE agents are the criminals and the people that they are seeking to apprehend are really angelic, saintly people who have just been unfairly targeted by these jackbooted Gestapo thugs who are out to kill them, to harm them, to hurt them, and these heroic people who are standing in the way and obstructing them. They are the good people, the people who are burning the American flag, the people who are raising the Mexican flag, the people who are spitting. I don't know whether you caught this, but they're setting our flags on fire, our flag on fire. Then they're spitting on it. These are the good people. These people are wonderful. And all the ICE agents are doing is they're escalating the situation. They're turning a peaceful, admirable protest into something potentially violent because the ICE agents are precipitating the violence. Right? Folks, I've said it's a demonic cult, and one of the characteristics of a cult always is that it denies reality as any normal human being would see it. And it seeks to replace that or supplant that with an unreal version of what life is about, what the facts are, what truth is. And normal people look at what they're doing and saying and say, that doesn't make sense. That's crazy. But the cult members look back at those people and say, no. The reason why you think that way is because you are unenlightened. You don't have the level of revelation that we have. You don't have the wisdom we have. You don't have the education we have. You don't have the insight we have. Because if you did, you would see things exactly the way we see them. And folks, that's delusional. You know, I was reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where it talks about the people who follow the Antichrist. It says they will follow him because his signs and lying wonders, because they did not have a love of the truth that they might be saved. And then it goes on to say, therefore, God gives them up to strong delusion that they would believe the lie. And I really believe that we're witnessing the spirit of Antichrist right before our very eyes in the way people become so deluded that they become passionately committed to the lie. And that's exactly what's happening in LA right now. Now, Gavin Newsom's talking about suing President Trump. As far as I'm concerned, what they're doing is really justifying violence, because they're saying basically to people that President Trump's deploying the National Guard, potentially deploying Marines if this situation continues to grow out of control, that he is the tyrant, that he is the dictator, that he's trying to precipitate a civil war, that everything was going great, and then he stepped in, and things have gotten that much worse. And it's almost as if they're saying to all those people out there who are already committing crimes, you need to do more, because now you're not just fighting for these wonderful people who are invading our country, but you're also fighting against a tyrant. And I've said many times before, I mean, they've called President Trump Hitler. They've called him Osama bin Laden. They called him a dictator. They've called him a Nazi. All of those kinds of labels lend themselves to one thought. If a person is that consummately evil, then killing that person is a righteous act. I mean, we know all of that is a lie, but just think about that. What did we do to Osama bin Laden? We killed him. Did anybody say, oh, that was a morally wrong thing to do? Of course not. Because we know he's been one of the most evil people to ever walk the face of the earth, and left to follow his own inclinations would kill thousands upon thousands of people if he could. Already killed close to 3,000, and plus more. I mean, that's just in that one attack on the World Trade Center. So. And Adolf Hitler, does anybody doubt if Valkyrie had succeeded and they had killed Adolf Hitler, would anybody have said, boy, that was a terrible thing to do. That was so immoral. No, everybody, wow, yes, they did a wonderfully courageous, moral, righteous, upright thing. Because Hitler, of course, was a brutal, bloodthirsty, genocidal maniac. So when you take these labels and you apply them to a president of the United States, lawfully elected by the people of the United States, and in my view, seeking always to operate within the Constitution while maintaining law and order within our country for the protection of the American people and our way of life, and you apply those labels to him, you are inciting violence against him. And they're talking about a civil war. In fact, Whoopi Goldberg made the comment that President Trump is trying to incite a civil war. I mean, which again is preposterous. But now, when you mention civil war, now you're talking about not just attacking President Trump, but you're talking about attacking all the people who voted for him, all the people who think his policies are right. So, folks, we've just got to pray. Pray for our country, pray for this president, and by the way, pray for ourselves. Because if you've heard any of my podcasts or heard any of my public comments lately, I've been saying, and this just underscores it, I think there is a sense of desperation among the godless left that they really are more and more believing that violence is an appropriate response. And I don't think that's just violence against President Trump or members of his administration. I think that's violence against people who they perceive as being the enemy. Those who believe in God, love our country, honor our flag, believe in our Constitution as the most successful governing document in the history of mankind, believe that we have borders that should be enforced, believe that there is a moral order that God established that is higher than any human being's opinion. All of us are dangerous Nazis, Christian nationalists. Well, we're not going anywhere, and the righteousness of God is going to prevail. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson, in for Abraham Hamilton III. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Proverbs 24, verse 12 tells us, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?
If you're troubled by the idea of God punishing people, ask yourself, what is God angry about? Just 10 generations from Adam, the world had fallen into total wickedness. Genesis 6 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Jesus warns, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. Over and over again, mankind has grieved God. God's anger is justified. Yet what's truly remarkable is that despite our rebellion, he remains loving and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Even now, he desires that none should perish. His righteous anger toward sin is matched only by his passionate love for sinners. This is Tim Moore wishing you Godspeed.
We're dedicated to proclaiming to as many people as possible that Jesus is returning soon. Find out more at ChristInProphecy.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And of course, I am not Abraham Hamilton III, but I am really happy to be substituting for him today, and I'll be back again tomorrow, and glad to be with you. Look, we started out the program talking about these LA riots, and in the next segment, I want to start taking your phone calls and see what your take is on that. Let me add this, folks, and I want to go on to another issue. Let me add that this is going to be litigated, whether the president has sufficient authority to have federalized the National Guard in California, whether he has authority to send the Marines into L.A. You can rest assured. I mean, Gavin Newsom has already said he's going to sue. So you can rest assured this is going to be highly litigated. And I'll be very honest, folks. I don't know where this is going to come down. I don't know what courts are going to say, because as you all know, many courts in our country today have really simply become political litmus tests to see where the judge stands. The leftist judges will just simply tend to oppose the president no matter what. Now, sometimes they're overturned on appeal, and they're judges who actually will follow the Constitution and the rule of law. But some of these judges, they just don't care. They don't care about any of that. All they care about is they're opposed to the president, and they're going to stop him from doing anything he tries to do, pretty much anything he tries to do, on no matter what flimsy justification they come up with and how little hope there is of it surviving appeal. They're just going to do it anyway, just to tweak him, just to try to get in his way. So you can rest assured there's probably going to be a court or two that they will find that will say he can't use the National Guard in L.A. He can't use the Marines in L.A. Of course, the Insurrection Act is what gives him the authority to do this as president. And they're going to say, well, this is not an insurrection. Interesting, right? January 6th, we know, was an insurrection, although there were no weapons. There were no guns. There were no knives. Nobody was physically attacked with any kind of weapon of warfare, but it was an insurrection. And the 500-plus riots that were held in 2020 after the George Floyd debacle all over the country, but that apparently was not an insurrection. No. They burned cop cars. They set federal buildings on fire. They attacked police stations. A dozen people were killed. Billions of dollars in property damage. But no, that was not an insurrection. No, but you know, the January 6th was. So you know, I wish I could say we can count on the courts to be objective about this, but sadly we can't. In fact, I'll tell you something, folks. There's only two justices at this point that I have any real respect for and confidence in, and that's Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. That's it. I hate to say it, but I just don't have any confidence in Gorsuch. I think he'll get it right sometime. I don't have any confidence in Kavanaugh, although I think he'll get it right sometime. I think they'll probably both get it right more than the liberals will. And frankly, right now I'm thinking I have the least confidence in Amy Coney Barrett. And I was out at the Supreme Court standing with, protesting for, shouting for, speaking at rallies in her behalf. And I tell you, I just don't have any confidence in where she will come down on the issue at this point. So I don't know what it's going to take for the conservative, the originalist, textualist side of the interpretation of the Constitution to actually get justices who will not simply portray themselves as holding that philosophy, but will actually follow it. Gorsuch certainly didn't follow it in Bostock, where he declared the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The word sex in the 1964 Civil Rights Act includes sexual orientation and gender identity. I mean, come on. Is that textual? Is that originalist? How could you? I mean, to me, it's preposterous. What you're really doing is engineering cultural and social change. You're not interpreting the law. Because everybody knows that nobody even thought of those things in 1964. And most of us would rather not think of them now, but here we have it. And so, at any rate, this is going to be litigated. Let's come to a second issue, which goes to this part of the problem that we have in our country and part of why this is a spiritual battle that has to be fought on spiritual terms is that we really don't have the weaponry on a social and cultural level now, I'm talking about, not guns and all of that, but we don't have the accoutrements, if you will, the ammunition, if you will. I keep going back to martial imagery, but you get my point. This thing with Terry Moran and this tweet he put out, I don't know, he might have been half high or something, and the real him came out. But this guy poses, they all do, of course, like they're objective journalists and their reporting is completely neutral and just happens to be against Trump because Trump is so wrong. But these people are, they're Marxists and they're leftists and they're atheists and they're godless. And they always point the finger at not only President Trump, but at conservatives in general as being hateful and intolerant, when in fact these people are supremely hateful and supremely intolerant. And this guy is talking about Stephen Miller and President Trump. And by the way, I love Stephen Miller. I think Stephen Miller is an intellect of gargantuan perspective, and a bold, courageous spokesperson for first principles, for foundational principles. But oh, no, that's not how they want to paint him. No. He's a hater. He's a bigot. So here's what Stephen Moran said about Stephen Miller. He says, the thing about Stephen Miller is not that he is the brains behind Trumpism. Yes, he is one of the people who conceptualizes the impulses of the Trumpist movement and translates them into policy. But that's not what's interesting about Miller. It's not brains, it's bile. Miller is a man who is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. He is a world-class hater. You can see this just by looking at him. Now, he actually said that. You can see this just by looking at him. You just look at Stephen Miller and see that he's a hater. Just by looking at him, because you can see that his hatreds are his spiritual nourishment. He eats his hate. Trump is a world-class hater, but his hatred is only a means to an end. And that end is his own glorification. That's his spiritual nourishment. Well, he's been suspended from ABC for that tweet. Because he's supposed to be an objective journalist. He's supposed to be representing a neutral perspective and giving facts as they unfold and allowing others to decide how they interpret those facts and what their perspective is on them. But no, that's not who he is. This man is, he's the hater. It is obvious he's the hater. I've heard Stephen Miller many times. The only thing I used to coming out of Stephen Miller is a brilliant assessment of where we are as a country and what needs to be done in order to set the ship of state aright again. I love the guy. I mean, I just think he's one of the president's greatest assets. I felt that during the first administration. I still believe that. But again, they think he's a hater because if you don't agree with them, if you don't agree that a three-year-old should get hormone treatment, if you don't agree that an eight-year-old should get puberty blockers, if you don't agree that a 13-year-old should be operated on to have her breast removed or his genitalia removed, if you don't believe that these children should be taken away from their parents who won't go along with this madness, if you don't believe that a pregnant woman is just carrying a blob that you can kill willy-nilly and it doesn't mean a thing, if you don't believe that America is a socially unjust and racist country and a white supremacist country, you don't believe any of that garbage, they hate you. Because they hate everything you represent. They don't just hate President Trump, and they don't just hate Stephen Miller, because those people will pass off the public scene at some point. But you and I are going to be here continuing to uphold our values in the voting booth and in the public square, and you better believe that they would silence us if they could. But praise God, they can't. You know, Isaiah 62 says, "You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." And I interpret that for us to say, and give him no rest until he makes America a praise in the earth. Well, America can't be a praise in the earth if we follow the talk about bile, if we follow the bile of Terry Moran and the bile of all of these leftists who want our country to be a godless, chaotic dystopia. America's only going to have a bright and prosperous future if we come back to the truth, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we come back to the truth that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. That when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Now that's what it takes. That's what has made America so successful. Not that we have lived out these principles in a perfect way. We know we haven't because none of us is perfect. But that foundation is the root. And if the root is good, the fruit is good. If the root is poison, the fruit is poison. And see, what the left wants to do is to just completely dig up the root. And they want to plant a poison vine. They want to completely decimate the foundation and lay a new foundation. Jesus said that new foundation is like a man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains fall and the floods flow and the wind blows, that house falls. And great is the fall of it. That's what they really want. See, because these folks, they don't realize it. I mean, one of the greatest lies and deceptions Satan ever put forth was the fact that he doesn't exist, and that people are not being used and manipulated by him, because then he can manipulate people and use people without them even knowing that they're being used. And of course, we know that his entire motivation is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, he'll convince people that, just like he convinced Eve, I just taught this on Sunday, like he convinced Eve that by disobeying God and doing your thing, you're going to be much, much better off. Oh, yeah. Oh, life is about to turn sweeter than it's ever been. Because, you know, God's kind of holding you back. If you just let go of all those rules that God gave you, don't eat the forbidden tree and all that, oh, you're going to be like God. Yeah, life's going to be better. and all he was doing was trying to bring the whole thing down on their heads. But she became convinced, her husband went along with it, and guess what? Kicked out of the garden. What's the result now? Well, now, Adam, you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow, and the ground is going to fight you every step of the way. And your children are going to murder each other. And the storms are going to come, and the trouble is going to come, and you know, all the stuff that the devil didn't tell you, but that he had in mind all along, that's what you get now. Trouble with a capital T. And that's what these people are trying to produce for our country, racial division. Just utter confusion on every level. In fact, look, when we come back, folks, I want to start taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to hear your comments on what we talked about or anything else that you want to talk about. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this Simone Biles Riley Gaines' conflict. I've said this many times too. Just because a person is good at a particular thing doesn't mean they're wise or good or smart. They could be as dumb as a rock and the biggest fool you ever saw. But they might be very good at running, jumping, putting a ball into a hoop, throwing a ball down a field. I mean, any number of things, you name it, or building a great building. But that doesn't mean that the person is a person of character. And these young people who experience all this success, I remember thinking, wow, this is great. Simone Biles, she's a Christian. Well, you know, some of us said the same thing about Kanye West, didn't we? But, you know, we've got to be careful allowing these people to be elevated in our minds to these great heights of admiration, when in fact, over time, we may find out that what we're looking at is a great big old fool who happens to be able to do one thing or some couple of things really, really well, and it makes them wealthy or it makes them famous. And I think that's what we're seeing now with Simone Biles. I mean, the woman she's a fool. She undermining herself and every girl in America, suggesting that it's not fair for Riley Gaines to not let want men playing in women's sports. Give me a break. Back in a moment.
Providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Attention husbands and fathers. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. As we near Father's Day, let's remember the call for husbands and fathers. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." Pastor and author Joel Beakey has written a short book titled, "How to Lead Your Family," where he explains how Christian husbands and fathers share in a limited way Christ's three offices of prophet, priest, and king, and how this should be manifested in instructive, sacrificial, and loving leadership. Hear our most recent program with Joel Beakey at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And this is E.W. Jackson sitting in the corner of the Hamilton Quarter in for Abraham Hamilton III. It's an honor to be here. And look, I want to start taking some of your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So let's go to the lines. We've got Mary from Kansas. Mary, welcome.
It sure is good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
I was wondering, on the Supreme Court, could they not issue they would do it, to let all the judges know that keep tying up the courts with these silly trying to take things out of their district and be in charge of it? And all the millions of people that elected President Trump, we sure didn't elect them. So it's time that they back off, and I was just wondering if the Supreme Court could step in and do something and just shut them all down at first.
Well, Mary, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you, too. Look, the Supreme Court could certainly slap these appeals courts, and particularly these district courts. They could certainly slap them down. Because, look, folks, I don't practice law anymore. Abe does. I don't anymore. But I do know this. I do remember this from my days of practicing law. The only legal responsibility a court has is to decide cases and controversies. It is not within the court's jurisdiction to create policy. But these judges have so skewed their responsibility and so they're frankly so full of themselves that they really do think that they are wiser and better than the person elected by the people, and that they can decide policy better than he can. Even foreign policy now, military policy. I mean, this is insane. And the Supreme Court could slap them down. Although, I have to tell you, that doesn't mean that a judge would necessarily be legally bound to follow the decisions of the Supreme Court. As we see now, they sometimes ignore precedent and just go their own way. So We've got a real judicial problem in our country. We really do. And I'm not sure what the answer is. This is a spiritual battle, folks. This is more than just a legal and political battle. This is a spiritual battle because these people, their hearts and minds are polluted with lies. And those lies tend to express themselves to the hurt and to the harm of the American people and our way of life, including our judicial system. But it would be helpful, at the very least, if the Supreme Court said, look, a district court judges don't get to issue orders that affect national policy. You don't get to do that. All you get to do is to decide the case before you and the decision impacting the person who's brought the case, the plaintiff. That's it. That's all. No more. Some judge from Washington State makes a decision that now covers the entire country and changes policy for the entire country. I mean, it's just crazy. But thank you for the call, Mary. Let's go to Frank in Kentucky. Frank, welcome.
Hi, Bishop.
Hey, Frank.
It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, sir.
Why don't you just stay there? Yeah.
Well, listen, I do a podcast, so please tune into my podcast. It's posted every Wednesday morning, so I'm still part of the AFR family.
That's good, but you still need to say it so that we can hear you, though.
Okay. So, what's on your mind today, Frank?
Because I can't do the podcast however you say it. But anyway, years ago, back in the 70s, I used to hear people complain about the United Nations a lot, and they would do certain things and people would say, well, why don't you just stop dealing with the United States, dealing with the United Nations? So I don't understand why they keep staying there. Why don't you just leave the United Nations, because they're paying United States is paying them a lot of money. So I don't understand why they keep staying there. And they keep messing up over and over again. So why don't they just leave? Why don't the United States just get out of that situation, and there won't be no complaints about it?
Well, Frank, thank you for the call, and thanks for the encouraging words. This would really require a longer discussion, so let me try to sum it up this way. If you ask me, well, why don't they just pull out and pull away? Remember the saying, I think it was encapsulated, it might have been encapsulated in one of the Godfather trilogy movies, where it was said, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. You know? And it may be one of those situations where a president gets in there and decides, you know what? I would rather be there seeing the crazy stuff these people are doing and knowing about it than to have to be on the outside looking in and maybe hear about it when it's too late to try to do something about it. So now that's just a guess. And obviously we could have a much longer discussion about the United Nations and whether it makes sense even for the United States to be a part of it. But thanks for the call. Let's go to Philip in Alabama, I believe that is. Philip, welcome.
Thank you, sir. My question is the very obvious one. I just want to know, what do you think will happen if President Trump simply ignores all these rogue judges and just completely destroys the legal system in doing so? I'll listen by the radio. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. Well, he's already made clear that he won't do that. And I think that's precisely because he doesn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know what I mean? In other words, he doesn't want to undermine the authority of our judiciary by responding to the particular judge who may be far beyond his legal jurisdiction. You know, there is this notion that sometimes, in fact, something we were taught in law school, hard cases make bad law. And what was meant by that was, when you get into a situation that is really anomalous or really difficult or really complicated, and you try to craft policy around that, very often you're making bad policy, because you're making policy based upon something that's very unusual, very complex, and it's not what you're going to normally face. So I think the president is trying to preserve the validity and the legitimacy of our legal system, while at the same time making clear, I think he's made crystal clear, that some of these judges are completely out of control. So I think he's just trying to balance those two things so that he doesn't do exactly what you suggested, which is just so completely undermine the judicial system that everybody says, well, you know what, it's worthless. Who's going to pay? We don't need to pay any attention to that. And we do need a judicial system, but we need one that has honesty and integrity and a commitment to the law and the Constitution. Thanks for the call, my friend. Let's go to Linda in Oklahoma. Linda, welcome.
I thank the Lord for you, Bishop. I think my prayer has been answered. I've been wanting to hear you I just thank God for you, Bishop.
Well, thank
and
you.
And I miss you so much on your program, almost into tears. Well, I don't have all this equipment of what they have, broadcast or whatever they have, a computer okay. and all that. I'm from old school.
I understand.
And all the thing, all thing I know to do is to, when I turn on that radio, I just love to hear you because you just brought a shyness to my day.
Well, praise God.
Bishop,
thank you, please,
I pray to God they will put you on more often. More often.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, listen, I'm on from time to time. When my friends at AFR need someone to substitute, they call on me, and I'm really happy for that opportunity. But thank you, Linda. Well, Linda, did you want to comment on any of these issues? I appreciate the encouraging words.
I just praise the Lord for you. You made my month.
Okay.
And I just thank the Lord that He put you on. God
well,
bless
thank you,
you Bishop.
Linda. Well, thank you. God bless you. Love you, too. Folks, I will be back on substituting for Abraham Hamilton III tomorrow as well. So thank you all for the encouraging words. And folks, Linda was so kind. And I want you all to know, I didn't pay her to say any of that, okay? All right. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, welcome.
Yes, sir. I am he is I, and okay. you are you.
Mike, I expected that. I remembered that. So, well, good to have you back.
Man, I miss you, brother. You got to come back on the radio. My goodness. We really miss you. A lot of people do, believe me.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, why can't Newsom be held accountable for what he's doing? Why can't this president just lock him up? Can't he do something like that? Does he actually have that kind of control over his own state?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, listen, Mike, again, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. I've got a break coming up here before too long. But look, I'll be on again tomorrow, so maybe we can continue the conversation. But, folks, the president can't arrest Newsom, or as President Trump likes to affectionately put it, Newscum. The president doesn't have arresting authority. What can be done, and what I really think needs to be done, when these state officials, folks, I call your attention back to the Civil War. You know, long before the Civil War happened, you all probably remember this from your history lessons when they were actually teaching history. Andrew Jackson was told by South Carolina that they would not obey the tariffs that had been duly passed by the United States Congress. Because they thought that they would hurt South Carolina and hurt South Carolinians, and that they were going to disobey those tariffs, and that they were going to break away and be independent of the United States. In effect, they were going to secede. Andrew Jackson, this had nothing to do with slavery, told them in no uncertain terms, "You try that, and I will march troops into your state and bring you to heel. Because you do not have a right to defy the federal government." Now, I think something similar to that has got to happen here with these states that have decided that they're a law unto themselves and they do not have to obey federal law with regard to immigration. I mean, these policies, folks, are based upon law. They're not based upon the opinions of President Trump. He is enforcing the law, something that has not been done by most presidents, including Republicans, not with the vigor that this president is doing that. It is not about hating anybody. It is not about hating Hispanics. It is not about hating Chinese people or anybody else. It is about protecting the sovereignty, the security, and the safety of the United States of America and its citizens. It is that plain and simple. Now, these idiots who want to turn that into hatred, they can say whatever they want to say about it. You know, we love people. We don't hate people. But we do have a country, and we are duty-bound to protect it and to defend it. I mean, it's like saying, you know, anybody ought to break into my house anytime they want, and if I'm against that, I must hate people. I mean, that's nuts. And so I think we are going to ultimately come to a point of crisis in this, in which these states are going to have to decide, are they part of the United States of America? In their own hearts and minds, and if they're not, they don't get to leave. They can leave, And, you know, with all of these flying of American flags at these riots that they're having, I'm thinking, well, why don't you just go to Mexico? I mean, why are you creating all this havoc? Why are you here on American soil, burning American flags, spitting on the flag, accosting these people, doing their lawful duty, when you can just go to Mexico and be happy? By the way, I wouldn't advise going to Mexico as an illegal alien, because you want to find out what enforcement of sovereignty is in a country? Try that in Mexico. Try going to Mexico and living there as an illegal alien and see how it works out. I mean, we are doing nothing more than what we ought to be doing as a sovereign nation, protecting that sovereignty. Any president who has no interest in that is, as far as I'm concerned, a traitor to our country and to the Constitution of the United States. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. We'll be back in a moment.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.